Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
So, if you open the app, you'll see a little guy dressed in a cape and a little mask. And don't we all know little boys who love to be superheroes? And don't we all have that desire in our hearts to be heroic? And we can be. Today's message for in-house and welcome so much online church family. I want to encourage you from some stories of the Bible that hopefully you can use as a mirror and see that for all of us, God has given us the ability to be heroic and to live heroic lives. I've seen a trend over the last couple of years in movies, and because Chris and I are very kind to each other and would listen to or watch movies that maybe I would be more interested in or he would be more interested in, I have watched my fair share of hero movies. And I've noticed a trend, though, that they're kind of not only always completely good and heroic, like a Superman would be, or there's this kind of this change that's happening in culture that even bad guys, if they find one cause that's good, can be considered good. But the word hero is most often translated in the Bible or every time as mighty. But when you look at the definition, the word is gibor, and it is not only mighty, but it also has the meaning of courage, self-sacrifice, being a warrior, and of moral excellence. When we read Psalm 24:8, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. When you use that entire definition, it gives you a more complete picture of God. But even any of our words would never be able to define how majestic and mighty and heroic and everything that is beautiful and good that God is. But as Christians, we do look to one another, and not only Christians, other people, the world looks to people, men and women, and dare I even say children, who walked with God and have a strong faith in God. We believe, as believers in Christ, in his existence and his absolute sovereignty. We believe that God gives us courage in the face of difficult situations. And when we look to the Bible, when we look at one another, we can see that heroic lives, heroes, are those who stand up for God in the most extreme circumstances. And some, when you read the book of Hebrews and the entire biblical account, you know that some then and now have lost their lives for standing up for the Lord. All of them would display these characteristics: faith in God, courage, self-sacrifice, the heart of a warrior, which includes a willingness to fight for what's true, just, and right, and while displaying moral excellence. So I've chosen for us some examples today, and I will say, introduce them as either a youth, a woman, or a man. But please, also, you can flip that around. And when I talk about motherhood, please, fathers, see yourselves in that. But I'm just using those examples so that every one of us has the ability to see themselves as a person that can be heroic for God. You know that being heroic is something that we do as we live our daily lives, day to day, minute by minute, hour by hour. Let's start with the first hero in the Bible that I will mention, and it was a child. His name was Josiah. And in chapter 16 of Kings, you can see his story unfold, begin to unfold. And you know what? When he became king, he was only 8 years old. Isn't that remarkable that someone would be given kingship? And that is because his father died, but he was only 8 years old. Let's read a little portion about him in 2 Kings, verse 20, chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. When you read further, when he was 18 years old, he found out what God required of Israel, and he made that his first order of business. I don't know how many young people would do that. Instead of looking at the wealth he had inherited or all the perks that came with a job, his first order of business was to see what the Lord required of him. And one of the first, when we read further in this chapter, we see that as ruling king, his first order of business was the plan to restore the temple, not a light undertaking at all. And in this process, Hilkiah the priest discovered the book of the law, and he read it before King Josiah. And let's read the account, because I think it's important to see what's in this. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes, and he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all of Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harus, the keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord God, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster that I'm going to bring on this place." What a word to receive as a young man. Trouble for when he passed away. But that did not deter this young man. His first reaction was to repent immediately and seek the will from God. He humbly asked other people to come alongside of him and inquire of the Lord. And because of his humble response, God would give the nation peace during his reign. But that promise alone did not stop him from making reforms. And then when you read further, on in this account, you will see that he led the nation into serious religious reforms, and he restored true worship. When you read about the horror, the idolatry in chapter 23, I think you can see maybe a parallel to this land that we're living in now, the community of how the world is changing. But it didn't stop this young man. And further on, this is not the only thing he did, which is, I found, so utterly amazing. In 2 Kings 23, we read further. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God. It is written in the book of the covenant. The huge Passover celebration that was held then has never been held like that again. So he not only eradicated the bad, but he also had courage to establish the good. He established the Passover in a way that no other king in Judah or Israel had done. He led his people in celebration, and he gave room for the nation to celebrate God's great acts of salvation and joy. Josiah led his people in return to the word of God and spiritual revival with extreme courage. He had moral integrity and a warrior's heart at a very young age, because to depose the priests and the idol worshiper, they weren't just politely asked to leave. He had to give an order for them to be killed. That took great courage. Now, the young people that I wrote, that I thought about, are not here. They are learning their own lessons. But I just want to say something to us here. Age is not a factor for being heroic for the Lord. We must stand by our youth, the young heroes of the faith, equipping them and standing them in every arena where they are living and serving God. Like the priests in the biblical account, inquire of the Lord for them, pray for them, stand by them in tangible ways as they engage the culture. King Josiah had such faithful priests and servants surrounding him. This is a thought I had. Can we adopt someone in a similar way in our congregation or in the family circles that you have? Tell them, I'm here. I stand with you. Now we come to women, heroic women of the faith. And there are many of them in the Bible, women who followed God and who did his will. The New Testament talks about women who followed Jesus and supported his ministry, women who lived faithfully and taught their children to do the same, women who displayed moral courage, self-sacrifice, and yes, it required a warrior spirit. For our example, we're going to look to Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was young also when she had the high calling to be the mother of the Son of God. That would have been very hard for a young girl to do. It took tremendous courage, because when she said yes to God, she didn't know if Joseph would say yes to her and stand beside her. She modeled grace, courage, and faith in her acceptance of God's plan for her life. Look at her acceptance speech, if you will, in Luke 1. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You know, if I was Mary, I don't know, I might have said, "Could you stay a little longer? This is big news. I don't know what I'm going to do with this news." But you know what her immediate response was? Worship. And we can read her beautiful song in Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. I'm not going to take the time to read them all now, but they are printed there for you to read, because it was one of the most beautiful worship and acceptance of calling words that you can hear. She never fully claimed to understand this calling herself, but her response was to worship God as she said yes, in acceptance of this miraculous that would engulf her entire existence. I think we can see that one of the most important characteristics of biblical heroes is their absolute faith in God, and Mary exemplified that. She participated in the miracle of the incarnation at a level no other human being has done or can comprehend. And then she experienced bewildering moments when Simeon prophesied that she would face future mental and emotional suffering. We read about that in Luke chapter 2. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Not many mamas hear that at the beginning when their baby is handed to them, that they can expect absolute suffering. I believe that Mary clung to the reason for Jesus' birth. In the middle of all of that, it sustained her that Jesus would bring salvation to anyone who believed in Jesus, her son. You know this, what this heroic woman shows us? Responsive obedience to the calling of motherhood, fatherhood. It is a high calling. She did never elevated her own position. She humbly, even when gently rebuffed, when she came to visit Jesus, and she followed him to the cross in obedience and courage, and also in obedience waited faithfully with the other disciples for the promised Holy Spirit. It took courage for her at times to be known as his mother. Think of the cross, and courage to witness his death. And then she gave timeless advice for all of us, for all ages, to the servants at the wedding feast of Cana. We read about that in John 2. She said, "Whatever he, Jesus, says to you, do it." When we look at Mary's life, that's exactly what she did. She lived a life of self-sacrifice, courage, great faith. The calling of motherhood is still, and fatherhood, still a sacred and holy task. We know that. And when you are a parent, you can testify to the truth of living a self-sacrificing life. But we live with faith as our great shield, that our Heavenly Father, who will guide and give his wisdom to us as we raise our children. Mothers, grandmothers, dads, grandpas, we know that this is a high calling, and it does require faith, courage, and commitment. There's a beautiful metaphor for motherhood. We read about that in Ezekiel. "What is your mother? A lioness. She lay down among the lions. Among the young lions, she nourished her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs, and he became a young lion." We raise our children in the middle of potential threats. We stand together and cover our children in prayer and go against the flow of popular culture daily. Now we do this. We have a wonderful group, Mother's Prayer Group, and it is amazing to stand together and pray for our children. But can we go a little further than that? Do you need a courageous mom that needs support? Could you ask her or father or mother, what can I do for you? How can we support you? And like our previous thought about the young men and women, can we choose a precious one and give them prayer support and tell them about it? Let's do that. Let's stand with these heroic parents. Now we come to a nameless hero. And I chose this one on purpose and with purpose, because there are many among us who live heroic, quiet lives of faith, who, like this woman with the issue of blood, suffer and yet do not give up. Trust in God and keep coming back and back and living their lives of quiet courage and faith. You know the story of this woman. She was in a crush. And we read about that in Luke 8. But she came and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And when Jesus said, "Someone touched me," and all the people around him denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." He was kind of saying, "Come on, of course someone touched you. Look how crushed we are." But Jesus said, "Oh, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, now she can't go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people and told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." You know, this nameless hero of the Bible and her powerful faith still inspire people. In a timeline that stretches through the ages, after 12 years of suffering, she believed. She never lost her faith. And when she saw Jesus, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. And I want you to know that Jesus sees you. He not only sees you, he's keenly aware of your struggle and your faith. And he will call it out for others to notice and to reward your faith. This lady was a radical risk taker. She went against the rules of her time to reach for her healing and blessing. She was also persevering during her lengthy illness. And then facing that crowd, this was no ordinary crowd. It was kind of like a stampede crowd. So crushed, she dared. She could have been crushed to death. She could have been pushed out of the way. Didn't stop her. She was a little fearful, but faith-filled. And we can be both. Being a hero doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means you rush in even when you are. And her faith and story were written down for all of us to observe and to be inspired by. You know, those of you who are struggling with something, we know who you are, and if we don't, God does. And I encourage you quiet faith warriors to step out and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And these testimonies will spread like that tiny mustard seed to grow and strengthen our faith as well. So, it was a woman who was the unnamed hero, but that applies to you men as well, and children. Now let's look at the men. It is, after all, Father's Day. I haven't forgotten you guys. I've read and observed that there is something deeply rooted in every man, the wonderful instinct to provide, protect, and to care of those that he loves. And again, when we look at the Bible, so many heroic men who stood up for God, regardless of the consequences for themselves. They taught others the word of God. They lived exemplary lives that encouraged others to believe in God and to serve him. Others started religious reforms or taught new believers what it meant to be a child of God. And we're going to look at two men, and the first will be Caleb. And I chose him particularly because he was a man who kept his faith and strength to senior age. Now, Chris and I firmly believe that at 65, we're not the old people yet. We're not. Caleb was 85 years old, and he is introduced to us in the book of Numbers 13. And there we read from, he was from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And in Numbers 14, we read, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. He was among the leaders picked to survey the land, and he was in his prime when that happened. But he and Joshua had to face continual choices, and most of them were against popular opinion. Every time, he chose to stand firmly on the promises of God. That could not have been easy. The crowd was against him. And the next time we see him, he's standing against the 10 spies who claimed that the Israelites could not prevail against the people of the land. They might have been correct in their assessment numerically, but that's not how Caleb lived his life. He looked to the Lord and his promises. He called on the people to increase their faith in God's promises rather than look at impossible circumstances. I know a lot of men and women among us who do the same. And I know that you know who you are, and I want you to see yourself in this passage. Caleb believed that God could deliver the promised land to his people, though they were outnumbered. Why do we look to Caleb as a hero of faith? Because one of the things he stood by is leadership, and he led the way into the future by confronting the negative reports of his peers' popular opinion. He helped a new generation rise to serve God and faith. That is so important in this day and age, that men stand with younger men and help them look into the future in prophetic and wonderful ways. Let's look at his testimony, and we read about that in Joshua 14. These are his own words. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. I don't know if that was a reference that this was his birthday, but on that day, he said, he was 85 years old. And yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua's response was to bless him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunne, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunne, the Kenizzite this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Isn't that amazing? An 85-year-old man believed in God's ability to do mighty things through him, including fighting battles. And he remembered the promise given to him by God 45 years earlier and boldly asked for this promise to be fulfilled, and he received his promise. Again, persevering faith. And God honored him and made him, kept him strong. Isn't that amazing? 85 years old, those of us who are going on. If that is what God has for us, we will be mighty at 85 years old. And those of you who are more senior, God will use you and is using you to do mighty things for him. It's amazing when what we can do when the Lord is with us. The last one we find in Joseph. And what jumped out so much for me was the one verse, "Now Joseph had a dream." The Hebrew word for "had a dream" means to bind firmly. Joseph became so firmly bound out in the dream that God had given him. And the dreams that God gives us are spiritual experiences that must take deep root in our hearts, never to be forgotten. And for Joseph, that was true. He trusted God and was rewarded for his faith because his dreams and visions rooted and sustained him through all that happened to him for over the years. His testimony to his brothers was, "But now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Why Joseph is someone that we can inspire to be like, that why we consider him a hero, is because he saw his life unfold from God's perspective. I think that took great, great faith and courage, because when you read the account in Genesis, you know that he faced so many, many terrible things. But in every personal trial and temptation, he stood with personal integrity and the promises of God with his absolute sincere faith. I would ask you today, what dream or promise has God given you for your life path, for your family, for your children? Stand firm. Like Joseph, see this as a reminder to look at life from God's perspective. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. We do not need to have the circumstances derail us. Now we know that every superhero has a superpower. Our little grandson, Walter, tells us that some of them are the ability to smash things like the Hulk, and he just loves that so much. But do we, if we're going to say we're heroic, and if just for a moment we would think of ourselves as heroes with superpowers and abilities, what is that? Well, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, isn't it? Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we can read about that in the letter to the Colossians. And our faith in God. You know that God gave each and every one of us a measure of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must believe that Jesus is the only way to God, our salvation. We look unto him because he is the author and finisher of our faith. We read about that in Hebrews 12. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking means giving our undivided attention, looking away from all other distractions, the illness, the circumstance, everything, looking only to Jesus. He's the one with whom our faith journey begins, and he will walk with us until our journey is complete. Isn't that amazing? Can you see yourselves in some of these examples and others in the Bible? God has given you a measure of faith. You trust him, you believe in him, and he will allow you to live and empower you to live heroic lives for him, for Jesus. We need in this day and age, and in all the ages, we needed men and women whom others can look to. And they might not call you a hero, but I know you are. Because in the day in and day out, you have great faith and trust in Jesus. You believe that nothing is possible with him, and that through him and his mighty power, he will equip us to do marvelous things for him. I would like to pray for us as the worship team comes up. And I would like you to look at your life and where you see yourself. And I would ask that you would ask the Lord to show you and open your eyes to the promises that he has given you. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it was a week ago. But stand on those promises. Allow God to infuse great faith in you. Allow him to show you that he is using you to live out your life in wonderful, heroic ways to spread the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that when we look in your word again and again, you open up so many different wisdom passages and thoughts and truths that we can learn from. I pray today for your people, your precious church, your family, that every person listening and those who will listen in days and weeks to come would be infused with faith to see, to stand, to walk out their faith. Whether they're the quiet heroes who nobody might even notice, that you would assure them that you see them, that you care, and that you will bring healing, salvation, shalom to them. I pray for the men and women who are at the forefront of the battle, the youths who are just starting out, that you would find us faithful to stand beside them and to speak into their lives, that they would be the Joshua and Calebs till they are 85 years old and more, that you would continue to use them like you equip us to do, Father God. I pray for those who are senior and thinking, I don't know if God can use me still, but he is. I pray that you would show them the ways that you are using them, Father God. And I pray for families and mothers and fathers and all the aunts and uncles. Father, those of us who call your name, that you would equip us, help us to rally for one another, that no one would be left fighting this fight of faith alone. I thank you that you have put God inside of our hearts and souls, that we can be heroic for you, and that we are. I thank you for that, Lord God. And Father, we pray for those who maybe have not yet said yet to Jesus, who have not started this adventurous walk with you. And if you are listening right now, and you would like to become a hero of the faith, a hero in your life for God, we're going to say a prayer and you can follow along. And would you here pray along for those who are listening? Because we know that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again, and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for saving me. Amen. Let's take another moment to worship.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.